Good morning, and thanks everyone for joining our call. My name is Leslie Dach. I'm the founder and chair of Protect Our Care, and I served as senior counsel to the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services during the last 2 years of the Obama administration, and also served as the department's global Ebola coordinator. Before I introduce our speakers, Senator Ron Wyden, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, House BPCC Chair Congressman David Cicilline, and Elena Hung, co-founder of Little Lobbyists, I just wanted to add a minute of introduction. This week tells the American people all they need to know about the difference between the healthcare priorities of Democrats in Congress and those of Donald Trump and the Republican Party. Over the weekend, President Trump said he told his people to slow down testing. Yesterday, Speaker Pelosi, Majority Leader Hoyer, and House Democrats unveiled legislation to build on the Affordable Care Act by lowering costs, expanding coverage, strengthening protections for those with pre-existing conditions, and addressing racial inequities in our healthcare system. Their bill would extend coverage to over 4 million Americans and reduce healthcare costs for millions more. Today, in the middle of a pandemic, the Trump administration will file its brief at the Supreme Court to completely repeal the Affordable Care Act, ripping healthcare away from 20 million Americans on top of the 27 million who already lost their employer coverage, raise healthcare costs for millions more at a time that over 40 million have lost their jobs, and gut protections for the 135 million Americans with pre-existing conditions, including the 2 million and growing number of Americans who have had the coronavirus. And all of this is happening at a time when the virus is raging out of control in states across the country. Cases are reaching the highest numbers they've ever been. ICUs are at capacity. 1.5 million more Americans filed for unemployment benefits. And Black and Latino Americans are dying at rates up to four times higher than white Americans. Seniors are dying neglected in nursing homes. And the administration and the Senate refuses to even consider the House-passed HEROES Act. The president's response, however, is to play down the crisis, ignore the experts and the facts, and hold massive indoor events in hotspot after hotspot. As a result, more Americans will get sick. Unfortunately, more will die, and our economy and our families will continue to suffer. This did not have to happen, and the president's failed leadership continues to make it worse. The president's most important job is to protect the lives and livelihoods of Americans, all Americans. But this president continues to fail us. The contrast between the values and actions of the speakers on today's call and the president's could not be clearer. With that, I'd like to turn this over to Senator Ron Wyden. As folks know, he's the senior U.S. Senator from Oregon and the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee that has jurisdiction for Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and so many more aspects of our healthcare system. Senator, from when he first arrived in Congress and even before when he arrived in 1981, has been a tireless and effective champion for healthcare for all Americans. Senator Wyden, thank you.
Leslie, thank you. And I'm running with the right crowd today with Leader Hoyer and Representative Cicilline and so many good people who are going to participate. And I'm not going to give a filibuster. I just want people to kind of get the essence of what we're concerned about. Today is the deadline for the Trump administration to file its brief for what they really want, which is to throw the Affordable Care Act in the trash can. And if they were to be successful in the Supreme Court, essentially what they would be doing is hitting millions of Americans like a wrecking ball. And they're today going to show us what their plan is for health care. It won't say about how more Americans can get tests for COVID-19. It's not going to say anything about how healthcare workers will get the protective equipment they need. It won't say how seniors in nursing homes will be cared for during the pandemic, or how people who lose a job are going to retain health coverage for their family. Instead, Donald Trump and Bill Barr are going to the public with a blueprint for how to dismantle American healthcare for millions of Americans. Just a couple of words about how we got here. A cadre of Republican state attorneys general wanted to keep the crusade against the Affordable Care Act going, so they filed a lawsuit basically using this bizarre mad scientist legal reasoning. Instead of defending the law, the Trump federal government chose to side with those attacking it. At any point, Donald Trump could have stopped supporting a reckless and unfounded lawsuit, a especially once the world was embroiled in the pandemic. It is now clear that he is doubling down on his healthcare attacks that would deprive millions of Americans of a healthcare lifeline. The Supreme Court sides with Trump and the Republican governors. The current health and economic catastrophe would be sent into overdrive. Tens of millions of Americans lose access to the healthcare system at the very moment they need it most. The uninsured rate among Black Americans will double overnight to 1 in 5. Insurance companies will be able to go back to the days when healthcare was for the healthy and wealthy. And I say that because insurance companies would be able to deny coverage for pre-existing conditions. This raises the ugly prospect that somebody could be denied health insurance because COVID-19 is considered a pre-existing condition. I don't see anybody showing up when I'm at home talking to folks who want a approach like this. They don't want the healthcare safety net to be torn apart, and yet Medicaid would suddenly be filled with cracks and holes that so many Americans would land directly into. So the stakes have always been high when you're talking about healthcare. And I know Leader Hoyer and I go back to the days when we came to Congress. I've been the director of the Great Panthers. We've been talking about these kinds of issues and the stakes being so high with health care. Now they're even higher. Americans need to know that this legal brief sums up what Donald Trump and Republicans believe about health care. What they believe is they don't care. They won't stop until the Affordable Care Act is repealed. We want the American people to know what is on the line today. And I gather, Leslie, you're going to introduce everybody, introduce the leader, or I think, ought to take it from here.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for all you do. Our next speaker is Leader Steny Hoyer, who we wouldn't have an ACA today if it wasn't for the fight he led when the law was passed. And every day since, he's been a champion both of moving America's healthcare forward and doing all he can to stop this administration from taking us backwards. He will be leading on the floor on Monday when the House bill is brought to the floor, as well as today in addressing the issues of policing and racial justice in America. Leader Hoyer, thanks for joining us.
Leslie, thank you very, very much, and thank you for what your group Protect Our Care is doing to do exactly that, protect our care. It's important, I think, and Senator Wyden, of course, said it very well, but it's important to remember how this administration started. On the stump, campaigning for President of the United States, he savaged the Affordable Care Act and said, and this is essentially a quote, I'm going to present a program which will include every American, universal coverage, in other words, at a lower cost and higher quality. We are now 3.5 years into this administration's tenure, and they have not offered a bill to do that. They did support a House bill. They had a big celebration at the White House. The president lauded that bill. And 2 weeks later, within 2 weeks, the president said, I'm not for that bill. It's a mean bill. Now, what happened? What happened is the people, the press, the advocacy groups saw exactly what the Republican bill did, cut people off insurance, cut people out of health care affordability and accessibility. And so after 3.5 years of not offering a bill to do what he said he was going to do, all people covered, lower cost, higher quality, they are suing and arguing to take away health care coverage for all Americans. Now, that doesn't mean every American would lose their health insurance, but they would not have access to an affordable, quality alternative if their employer was not providing it or they weren't buying it on their own. So today, Republicans are filing, as has been said, their briefs in support of their lawsuit seeking to strike down the Affordable Care Act with no substitute in its entirety, along with its protection for those with pre-existing conditions. Even though they say they are for pre-existing conditions, that's their talk. their walk is to take away such protection. That is a stark, stark contrast to the work that House Democrats are doing to protect and enhance the Affordable Care Act. Yesterday, we unveiled legislation to strengthen and expand the ACA, which we will pass. Not only are we going to bring it to the floor, we're going to pass it on June 29th, next Monday. And that is the second, actually, we passed a number of bills to protect pre-existing conditions, protect accessibility, protect affordability, and to bring costs down. Those bills sit untended in the United States Senate. And so we're passing another bill, and this will bring costs down for Americans, which is very important. Our bill will strengthen the law by, one, encouraging every state to expand Medicaid eligibility. That will add millions of people to being covered. We're going to lower the monthly premiums and out-of-pocket costs by providing more generous cost-saving subsidies and tax credits to help people better afford. That's important, to help people better afford coverage under marketplace plans. Next, we're going to address the racial disparities in healthcare that have come into full view as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. An additional systemic racist policy, which may not be intentional, but certainly unintentionally, disadvantages minority communities. President Trump and the Congressional Republicans, on the other hand, want to take away protections for 135 million Americans with pre-existing conditions. 135 million Americans who will not be under the present law. The insurance companies cannot deny them coverage because of pre-existing conditions. President Trump and the Republicans want to take that away. They want to raise costs and impose an age tax on older Americans. In other words, they will pay a lot more at a time when they can't afford as much. And this all, as Senator Wyden pointed out, in the middle of a pandemic. That is cruel, and it will cost lives. I hope House Republicans will do the right thing and join us in voting for this bill. And I urge the Senate to take it up without delay once it has passed the House. And I want to say to Senator Wyden, thank you for your courageous, steadfast, and untiring efforts to make sure that the Affordable Care Act not only is preserved, but is expanded. The Affordable Care Act, of course, is modeled on the Massachusetts plan, which was adopted when George Romney was the governor of that state and when Democrats controlled the House and the Senate. It was a bipartisan bill. We based our Affordable Care Act on that model. And in Massachusetts today, 100% of children are covered and 98% of adults. So that is where we're moving. That's where we want to go, universal coverage at a cost that people can afford to make sure that they are healthy and that our nation is a nation that takes care of its people. So let's hope that the American people, who overwhelmingly support that objective, will be steadfast today, tomorrow, and in November. I thank Protect Our Care for their tireless commitment to protecting and expanding access to health care. Our committee chairs who led this legislation and our freshman members who came to Congress on a pledge to protect health care access and lower costs will do so on Monday. Thank you very, very much. And now I know David Cicilline is going to come on, who's going to make sure that our message resounds and the truth of our message is known to the American people. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Leader. And as Leader just said, our next speaker is Representative David Cicilline. He represents Rhode Island's 1st Congressional District and is chair of the Democratic Policy and Communications Committee. I know every time I have the opportunity to listen to the congressman, I know I'm struck with just sort of how much he understands the real concerns of the people in this country, what they look to government to do for them. And then he goes about standing up for their values and for what matters in their daily lives. Representative Cicilline, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Leslie, and thank you to Protect Our Care for all of your incredible work and for bringing us together today. It's great to be with Senator Wyden and my leader, Leader Hoyer, and Elena to talk about this really important issue. And, you know, we are living in very difficult times. More than 40 million Americans have filed for unemployment since the start of this public health pandemic. More than 120,000 Americans have died, and more than 2.25 million have gotten sick with this virus. And so the American people are hurting right now, and they have significant anxiety about their access to necessary health care and the economic insecurity that this pandemic has brought. But frankly, only the Democrats are trying to do something about their pain. Last month, Democrats in the House passed the $3 trillion HEROES Act to provide folks another round of direct cash payments up to $6,000 per household, $1 trillion to keep frontline workers on the job, those that are protecting us, police, fire, healthcare workers, sanitation workers in the midst of this pandemic, new protections to maintain health coverage if you've lost your job, and $75 billion for testing, tracing, and isolation so we can really begin to defeat this pandemic. I know that Senator Wyden is, along with my two senators, is doing his part in the Senate, but the Republicans who control the Senate will not even give the HEROES Act a vote. And today, to add insult to injury, President Trump is joining 18 Republican governors and attorneys general to renew their efforts to try to rip away health care from even more people. Donald Trump and the Republicans are filing legal briefs today asking the Supreme Court to invalidate the Affordable Care Act in its entirety. And if they succeed, it will rip away health care from 20 million Americans and raise costs and gut protections for 135 million Americans who have pre-existing conditions, as Leslie mentioned, including 2 million and growing number of Americans that are infected with the coronavirus. But this is just a consistent effort by the Republicans that they've been engaged in for over a decade. They are obsessed with taking away health care from the American people. But this is the first time that they've tried to do it in the middle of a public health pandemic. And they're doing it at a time when infection rates in the United States continue to rise. There's never been a more important time to protect and expand health coverage in our country. There's also never been a worse time to take away health care. And that's why, as Leader Hoyer mentioned, on Monday we'll be voting in the House to pass the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Enhancement Act. The American people gave us the majority 2 years ago because we promised to do three things: raise wages, lower costs, and root out corruption. Raise wages for families, lower the cost of health care, and protect coverage for pre-existing conditions, and root out the corruption in Washington and get the government working for the people again. And the Patient Protection Affordable Care Enhancement Act is part of living up to that promise. It lowers health care costs, protects patients with pre-existing conditions, expands Medicaid, and lowers prescription drug costs. And we're going to bring this bill to the floor next week, and I hope it passes with some Republican votes, but if history is any judge, we shouldn't get our hopes up. It's sad that in the middle of a pandemic, the health and well-being of the American people is not the focus of every single person in Congress on both sides of the aisle, but sadly, it's not. But that's the reality when one political party refuses to wear masks, ends federal support for testing, and just can't give up their dream of ripping away health coverage from millions of Americans. We are not going to let them do that, and I'm proud of the work that Protect Our Care is doing to help us right now. And again, want to say that there is probably no issue where there's a greater contrast between Democrats and Republicans. We have fought from the day we got here in the majority to strengthen access to health care, to expand it, to drive down costs, and our Republican colleagues, although they promised to repeal and replace, continue just to try to repeal with no plan in place. And I think the American people see that contrast, and it's helped tremendously by Protect Our Care to make sure people understand what we're fighting for. And with that, I'll yield back to you, Leslie, and thank you again.
Thank you, Congressman. Another person who's been at the forefront of the effort to protect America's healthcare has been Elena Hung, who's the executive director and co-founder of Little Lobbyists. You know, the Congressman just mentioned that it's been the president's dream to rip apart health care. Elena, both in her own family and the people represents are the folks who know what a nightmare that would be for millions of Americans around the country. Elena's a hero to a lot of us who work in this space for her tireless efforts. And Elena, we turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, Leslie. I appreciate that. Thank you to Protect Our Care for hosting this call, for bringing us together today. I want to do a quick thank you to Senator Wyden, House Majority Leader Hoyer, Congressman Sweeney, for your remarks and for your ongoing work on behalf of the American people. And I also say, let's say thank you to the press on the line for the wonderful work that you all do. I am so grateful to have the opportunity to speak with you today on behalf of my organization, The Little Obvious. We are a family-led group advocating for our children with complex medical needs and disabilities. Despite our name, we are not actual lobbyists. We are real families with real concerns about the health care of our children and our loved ones. We are talking about the Affordable Care Act today, and I'm taken back. I still vividly remember watching the news about repeal efforts in early 2017, I'm getting really scared and worried. And in that moment, we decided, my friends with children with complex medical needs and disabilities, we decided that we wanted to help put a face on healthcare. So we collected stories from families like ours across the country, and we showed up on Capitol Hill one day. We hand-delivered these stories to members of Congress with our children at our side. That one day on Capitol Hill turned into a second day and a third day, and very, very quickly, many, many more days. And here we are, 3 years later, still fighting for our children who are surviving and thriving because of access to healthcare, because of the ACA, because of Medicaid. Children like my daughter who have spent more than their fair share of time in hospitals and doctor's offices and have medical records a mile long, but have been giving a shot at life because of access to continued health care despite their pre-existing conditions. Children whose medical bills sometimes reach $1 million or more before they ever leave the hospital, but again, have been giving a shot at life because of access to continued health care despite reaching their annual or lifetime limit. And really what it comes down to is that our families want everyone to hear the stories and see the faces of those who will be directly affected if this repeal lawsuit were successful. So if you would allow me a moment to just share my own personal story. About 6 years ago, I had a great pregnancy and an amazing birth. And then 15 minutes after she was born, my baby was placed on 100% oxygen support and rushed to the neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU, where she remained for the next 5 months. She was diagnosed with serious medical conditions affecting her airway, lungs, heart, and kidneys. She uses a tracheostomy to breathe, a ventilator for additional support, a feeding tube for all of her nutrition, and a wheelchair to get around and explore the world around her. I named my daughter Ziomara, which means ready for battle, and I am thrilled to tell you that Ziomara is thriving today. She's happy, kind, funny, clever, a little bit naughty. She is officially a kindergarten graduate as of last week. I'm so proud, and she will be celebrating her 6th birthday next month, a birthday that was never promised to her, but one we are fortunate to look forward to because of the health care that she has received. Ziomara is the joy of my life, and I am so lucky that I get to be her mom. And that is what the Affordable Care Act means to me and families like mine across the country. The ACA means that our children get a chance to have a childhood. And because healthcare is a human right, which we are seeing even more clearly now during this time facing the global pandemic crisis, millions of Americans with underlying or pre-existing conditions, including children like my daughter, are and will be particularly at risk as COVID-19 continues to spread across the country, facing high risk of complications and death if infected. So we need to ensure that our children can continue to access the medical care that they need, including the continuity of care they need when it comes to supplies and medications for home use. And the ACA and Medicaid are key to helping ensure that disabled people and those with health care needs can continue to get that care that they need at home, so they can stay at home during this crisis, stay at home as we've been told to do, and not be forced to unnecessarily access care in hospitals or nursing facilities or other congregate settings where they run a higher risk of being infected, as well as possibly overwhelming the healthcare system overall. So in some ways, it's really no exaggeration to say that healthcare is literally a matter of life and death for families like mine. And now, in the middle of a pandemic, the Trump administration and Republican Party want to destroy the very law that currently provides vital protections to people with pre-existing conditions and healthcare coverage to millions of Americans. They want to repeal the ACA, and they still do not have a replacement plan. They do not have a plan to this day. This is not a difference in politics and policies. This is a difference in morals and values. This lawsuit is a rejection of facts and science and humanity, and our country deserves so much better. And so, like speakers before me, we will continue to protect and expand the ACA, this life-saving law that helps our children survive and thrive. So thank you so much for your time today, and I wish you all continued good health during this pandemic. Thanks. Back to you,
Leslie. Elena, thank you so much for sharing your story, and congratulations on the sixth birthday. And thanks to all of our speakers. Whitney, let's see if any of the press on the line have a question. I know some of our speakers may have had to jump early, so we'll moderate the questions and answers as best we can. Whitney?
Of course. If any members of the press have questions for our speakers, please press star 3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, that's star 3 if you have a question for any of our speakers. I'm going to give folks just a second here.
Yeah, I think they've gotten a lot of great information in the call. So go ahead.
Yeah. Yep. Our first question is going to come from Steve Dennis at Bloomberg. Steve, you are live.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could sort of connect the dots here on the politics of this moment. Obviously, we're a little over four months from an election. We've got a lot of Republican senators sort of on the hot seat here, who have put forward sort of their version of pre-existing condition protections with that Tillis bill, et cetera. I'm wondering what you see happening on the politics of this after this brief gets put in, and also how the Republicans are saying, well, hey, they are not going to allow pre-existing conditions to come back.
Would any of our speakers like to take that?
Well, this is Steny Hoyer.
Go ahead, Steny.
Oh, no, Ron, go ahead.
No, you go first.
Okay, well, all I was going to say, and I think we'll all be brief on the answers to questions, there's a stark difference between what the Republicans campaigned on. This is not any secret or assertion on our part. They wanted to repeal and have attempted to appeal in 65 plus votes over the last few years after the Affordable Care Act was adopted to repeal the protections of not only pre-existing conditions, but lifetime limits and many other things, and to bring down the cost of coverage for people. They've made it very clear they believe that was a bad bill and it ought to be repealed. And they've done everything they can since that time. The reason I mentioned Trump's change of mind in less than 2 weeks, the House did pass a bill. Now, the Senate couldn't pass it. But the reason the Senate couldn't pass it was why Trump, after lauding the bill, said, no, this is a mean bill. And what he meant by mean bill, rarely is he accurate, but because it undermined the health and protection for the American people. And they have continued that effort. Now, you posit the question that every Republican has said they want to protect pre-existing conditions. Why do they do that? Because it is overwhelmingly supported by the American people. They've had an opportunity to do that. They've had an opportunity when they controlled the administration and the Congress. They didn't do it. Now, because the election is coming upon us, they know the American people are for it. They are saying, on the one hand, we want to protect it, and on the other hand, they're supporting a president and an administration overwhelmingly that is trying to repeal that protection. So I don't think the American people are going to be fooled as to who's for protecting their health care and who is not. Ron?
And Steve, I can tell you I very much agree with my friend, Leader Hoyer, on this. And Let me give you my sense on the Senate side, since I think you were asking about both the Senate and the House. What Republican senators will do, if history is any guide, is they will go back to their false refrain. In other words, every time this issue comes up, they sort of pretend that what Donald Trump is doing is not really their agenda, that they are champs for protecting people with pre-existing conditions. The fact is, when you analyze the Senate Republican pre-existing condition protections, there is really very little there. It is riddled with all kinds of loopholes. We can give you the analyses we've done because the Finance Committee has looked at their proposals, and there's no question that they are going to come back and try to do somersaults in terms of trying to argue they are champs for defending, protecting people with a pre-existing condition. But the fact is, they would be very willing to unravel the firm, locked-in protections for people with pre-existing conditions in the Affordable Care Act and go back to the days when health care was for the healthy and wealthy. That's what you have if you unravel protections for pre-existing conditions, because if you're wealthy, you can pay for your care. If you're healthy, it's not a question. But let's make no mistake about it. What the Republicans will do here, Steve, is what they have done every single time this debate comes up, and that is they will throw out this false refrain about how they're big champs for pre-existing conditions. We look at their proposals, and there's very little there.
It sounds like the argument you're making is that the coronavirus pandemic, tens of millions of people out of work, potentially losing their health insurance, plus it's a healthcare illness that could be a pre-existing condition, sort of, you guys see this now as keeping healthcare center stage now for the duration of the campaign, something that will put Republicans on their back foot, et cetera?
David, you may speak to that, because we put health care, we've been putting it on the front burner since 2009 and 2008 when we started this effort to adopt the Affordable Care Act. We said that it was going to go into place, and from that point to this, the Republicans have universally, with not enough exceptions that I can remember any, have said they are against the Affordable Care Act. And yes, they say there's some things in there they like, but they had control of the government, and they didn't offer those bills, they didn't pass those bills, they didn't send them to the President of the United States. So it's empty rhetoric. It's empty rhetoric for politics' sake. And so what we are doing is, this bill is a little different than the first bill we passed, which dealt with Medicare benefits and Social Security benefits. This bill leans more towards making sure that we bring the cost, out-of-pocket cost, down so that the Affordable Care Act is more affordable and available to people. But there are a lot of other things in the bill because, you know, they've refused to educate people about what's available to them. They've refused to have longer sign-up periods. They've undermined navigators who tell people about what benefits are available to them. So, again, as Ron says, there are so many loopholes in, they say, well, maybe, and yes, conceptually they say they're for this, but in actuality they have not done anything to move it forward. So we are simply pursuing what we told the American people we were going to do in 2018 when we said we were going to have an agenda for the people, which dealt with jobs and good wages and dealt with their health care and their health care costs and having an honest government, as David Cicilline, who was part of that, creating that agenda. So this is just a continuation of our agenda. And yes, it is reminding the American people we're for it and they're not.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to it is...
Go ahead, David.
No, the only thing I was going to say, the only thing I would add to it is that when we developed the Democratic agenda, we purposely put as number one, driving down the cost of health care, particularly the cost of prescription drugs, protecting coverage for pre-existing conditions. And everything that we have done has been in pursuit of an effort to make healthcare more affordable and more accessible and to make it work even better for the American people to expand coverage. Everything our Republican colleagues have done have been just the opposite. From the litigation to literally have the ACA invalidated in its entirety, their efforts to repeatedly vote to repeal it in its entirety, and their vote against all of these pieces of legislation that have strengthened the ACA, made healthcare more available at a lower cost. So there, you know, this has been the number one priority of the House Democrats since we took the majority, and before that, certainly when we were in the minority, and their position is unchanged. What I think they're trying to do is deal with the reality that in just a few months they're going to be forced to face the voters in this country who know what they've been up to. They've been up to an intentional effort to rip away health care from millions of Americans and standing in the way of the Democratic effort to expand coverage and drive down costs, and they are attempting to avoid accountability for that terrible, terrible judgment, and I think that's what this is all about.
Steve, I agree with my colleagues. This is Ron and Leader Hoyer and Congressman Cicilline have said it well, and I would just say what we're struck by on the Senate Finance Committee is how so many of the health problems we had in America before COVID hit now have been compounded. In other words, any reasonable person looking at how we are in the middle of a pandemic would say, you know, I want to do more to try to help somebody who's lost their job and they had employer-based coverage. What do we see from Donald Trump? You know, he doesn't want to have an enrollment period. He doesn't want to do anything for all these people who, as a result of the COVID pandemic, have been hit even harder than they were before. And that's why what Leader Hoyer and Congressman Cicilline are going to do in the House is so incredibly important, because these issues were hugely consequential before COVID-19 hit. Now they're vastly more important, and a reasonable person who would get your question in terms of COVID-19 would be for the kinds of changes we're talking about, but instead the Republicans just reiterate these empty refrains from the past.
Thanks, everyone, and thanks for the questions. I think we've at our allotted time, I want to again thank our speakers for all that they do and for their time this morning. And Whitney, I think you can close the call.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks, Les. Thanks, Denny. Dave.
Thank you.